His gaze closed up like a desert cactus at night as he faced front, dismissing me. I was wondering where you got that button up from. I stepped forward as the line shuffled ahead.
The shop.
He didn't turn around. His shoulders tightened and shrank in on themselves. He was so uncomfortable, I could almost see stress leaking out of him.
Are you sure you got the men's version?
I kept my voice calm, but my fingers curled into fists. The glare he shot over his shoulder froze my blood, sharp and venomous like a poison dart. For a second, I forgot to breathe.
What's it to you?
He hissed. This time he did turn all the way around and loomed over me. In the corner of my eye, I saw Gage cross to where Crispy stood inside the doorway. How had she missed this guy coming into the cafeteria so much later than everyone else anyway? The guy's gaze twitched from my face to over my head, where I knew Gage was talking with Crispy. His eyes widened and filled with alarm. Whirling, he slipped out of line and headed for the kitchen. I followed as he disappeared through the kitchen door, catching only a flash of the ill-fitting shirt as he went through a rear exit at the back of the kitchen. I caught a glimpse of the surprised expressions of three cooks as they labored over steaming pots in their shining stainless steel universe. I wondered how the guy knew where he was going as I slipped across the sterile ceramic tiles. He moved with a surety that said he'd been here before. A graduate, then? Someone with a vendetta from his school years? Or was he even a mage? I hadn't seen any proof of fire, not even when he'd sent me that noxious look. No one tried to stop me as I slipped through the back door and took the only option offered, a set of steps leading up and ending abruptly with another closed door. The guy had already disappeared through the door, even though I'd been right behind him. I hadn't even heard the sound of the door closing. He could move fast. Supernatural fast. Okay, so maybe he was a mage. Pausing halfway up the stairs, I had a moment of intense inner conflict. Should I go back for help? What would I face if I cornered him? But if I didn't pursue, I'd lose him. A second voice reminded me that I was burned. I had a level of firepower that only one other person in the academy possessed, Basil himself. Who else besides one of us had a better chance of catching and detaining this guy? No one. Since Basil was goodness knew where and going back just felt wrong, I continued on. Opening the door at the top revealed a narrow hall lit by high vertical windows. The hall went in both directions. To my right, it was lined with cupboards and ended where a painting of a lone figure on a hill with a peeling frame hung. To my left were more cupboards and a thin hallway ending in a closed door. Listening like a bird dog, I froze, every joint locked. The distant creak of an aged floorboard was all I needed to sprint in the direction of the painting. The hall turned right, then left again before a short set of steps connected to a broader and better dressed hall. Muttering curses, I realized he could be in any classroom, any unlocked bedroom, any office, or common room along this hall. If he'd even come this way. The creak could have been the complaints of a 300-year-old building, but I didn't think so. Spherical emergency lights glimmered from the seam between the wall and the ceiling, illuminating the hall like it was my own personal runway. A haunted runway. The blue-white light leached all the color out of the place, making the shadows blacker, turning the wallpaper to oxblood red, and making every piece of artwork come to haunted life. My sneakers padded silently on the carpet as I cocked my head, hoping for another creaky floorboard. A classroom divided from the hallway by several windows allowed me a glimpse of the shutters, which reminded me that the academy was in lockdown. Whoever the guy was, and whatever he wanted here, he was as locked inside the manor as the rest of us were. Plenty of places to hide, but no way out.